Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go. Hello, hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen with me today. I have Amazon best-selling author Lindsay Davis. She wrote You Can't Eat Love: How Learning to Love Yourself Can Change Your Relationship with Food. Welcome, Leslie. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, so let's just get started. You can let our listeners know who you are and how you got on this journey.
Well, first of all, I'm like so many other people. I'm a wife, I'm a mother. I've, you know, worked, taking care of the house and everybody else all at the same time. And the person I wasn't taking care of, I came to realize was me. Mm-hmm. And like so many other people, it took a moment where I don't like to say that I was at rock bottom, because I feel like that's tempting the fates to say, let me just show you rock bottom. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I hit a low point in my life where I could go one of two directions. And I decided to get healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. And that was back in 2016. And I tell people that if I would have known how hard the journey was going to be, I don't know if I would have ever started, but I'm very grateful. I was not aware of how difficult it was going to be, because I am now living my very best life. I'm still working towards getting healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally, but at the same time, I'm happier, more content, and like I said, enjoying life. And as a consequence, I ended up writing the book, You Can't Eat Love, which is essentially the lessons that I learned as I went on the journey to learn to love myself.
Yeah, I love that. So often as moms or trauma survivors, we take care of everybody else around us, myself included. I struggle with this as well. And neglect ourselves. And I think society has trained us in that it's selfish for a mom to take time for herself when her kids need X, Y, or Z. But what I've come to realize in my short experience so far as a mom is that if my cup is empty, then I can't show up fully for my little ones. And we're deep into toddler life right now, so not being able to show up for my little ones is not ideal. So what has your experience been with emotional eating? Because the title of your book suggests that it is emotional.
Well, it is about what I learned about emotional eating, but to kind of, you know, go back to what you were talking about, because this is all part of it, and I do talk about this in the book. Among the things that I discovered You probably fly. A lot of people fly. You get on the plane and then they come on with this montage about buckling your seatbelt and putting on your oxygen mask and all that kind of stuff. And I used to not pay attention to it. But one day I stumbled across a YouTube and it said that when that plane is at altitude and you lose pressure, you basically have 30 seconds to get your oxygen mask on. Okay. So visualize 30 seconds. And what I was doing, and it sounds to me as if what you were doing, and I'm sure this is what a lot of your listeners are doing, I was running around putting everybody else's oxygen mask on. Mm-hmm. And as I tell people now, if you run around putting everybody else's oxygen mask on, when that plane lands, you're going to be laid out in the aisle. People are going to be stepping over you and they're going to be saying, there's that nice person who helped me. They're going to go on with their life. And where are you going to be? And on occasion, they may think about you, on a very rare occasion, but where are you going to be? Mm-hmm. And that's where I was. And it was this giant aha moment when I said, you know what? I need to be putting my oxygen mask on so I can take care of other people. And you're right, society, our families, TV, you name it, mm-hmm. history has dictated that we are not upholding our job, our role, if we take care of ourselves first. But the truth of the matter is, and this was part of the journey that I went on, I was so busy taking care of everybody else that, you know, you visualize a picture. I had poured it out dry to the point that I was spitting into it to try and take care of people, but I ran out of spit and I was trying to do everything that I possibly could so I could keep pouring out. And all the while saying, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. I don't need anybody to take care of me. I don't need to take care of myself because my job, my role, my worth, my importance, my, you fill in the blank, comes from pouring out to other people. Mm-hmm. And what I came to recognize when I started taking care of myself, when I started recording what I was eating and how I started visualizing and connecting how I was feeling and what I was thinking with what I was eating, I came to understand that I was killing the pain of not feeling with food. I was using food as what I call my drug of choice to stop the pain because I did not know how to feel. The emotions were scary. Mm-hmm. That was number one. But number two, and incredibly importantly, I didn't believe I had a right to have the emotions. Mm-hmm. And that creates a whole lot of tension.
Oh boy, does it ever.
Yeah. So as a consequence, I learned how to name my emotions. And it's not that I didn't know the names of emotions. It's that I didn't know how to name my emotions. So I had to learn how to name my emotions. Then I had to give myself permission to feel the emotion. And as I talk about in the book, sometimes I could feel it for a short while. Sometimes I, you know, would run from it because the pain of that emotion was so scary that I could only handle it for a little tiny bit of time. Mm-hmm. But what I discovered, and this is kind of what I continue to do even this many years later, if I will grab pen and paper and start having a conversation with myself about what I'm feeling, and while I'm pouring that out, I will say to myself, well, of course you're feeling angry right now because this is what's going on. Of course you're feeling sad right now because this is what's going on. And I would acknowledge, of course I'm feeling whatever, because truth of the matter is, Emily, and I'm sure you would agree, what we all long for is for somebody to hear what we are saying. Mm-hmm. We want somebody to listen and to let us know they hear us. Mm-hmm. And I came to discover and I came to understand the people around me, they are, for whatever reason, I'm not in control of them, they do not have the capacity, the ability to listen to me in the way that I desire to be listened to. Mm-hmm. So what I came to discover was what I call my very best friend in the whole wide world, which is me. Me. Mm-hmm. And guess who is always available to listen to me? I am. So that's why I say I grab pen and paper and I have a conversation with myself. And what happens is it gets the conversation out of my head. It gets it onto paper. I don't journal. Don't tell me that I journal. I just write in notebooks on a regular basis. I've got stacks of notebooks. I very rarely reread what I write. But it gets the conversation out of my head. It's far more productive. I'm able to come to either make a decision, not make a decision, but I feel heard. Mm-hmm. I feel as if my feelings are validated. Mm-hmm. Because how many times have you gone to someone and you're really upset about something, or you're excited about something, or fill in the blank about something, and you can see their eyes start glassing over, or they do what I like to call, they are listening to talk. So as soon as you take a breath, they start talking about whatever happened in their life that was way more extreme than whatever's happening in your life. And they do what I call, they hijack the conversation.
Or they gaslight.
Or they gaslight, which is even worse. Mm-hmm. Yes, gaslighting is even worse.
Yep.
And unfortunately, not everybody is on a path towards healing.
No. No, some people are happy in their misery. And that's their journey. So...
Well, and that was the thing that I came to really understand. I can only control me. I can't control anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so the stories that other people are telling, those are the stories that other people are telling. Mm-hmm. And it is not up to me to find somebody else to validate how I'm feeling. I can validate myself. Mm-hmm. And as I did that work, and as I came to understand, I can listen to me. I am always available to listen to me. I don't get tired of listening to me talking about the same thing. And I'm not going to give me that dreaded word, advice. Because how many times do you talk to somebody and all of a sudden they start giving you advice?
Oh man, so many times. And I've just had to tell people, you know what? I just need you to listen. I just need to talk. And I can work through my own problems. I just need to talk and get it off of my chest. Because if I don't, it's going to stew. And then it's going to spin out of control and become something that it's doesn't need to be or meant to be. So just keep your advice to yourself. I will figure it out. I just need to talk.
But I'm sure that you have people in your life who feel as if they are not giving advice or helping you fix your problem. Well, not even helping you, but telling you how to fix your problem. They feel as if they have no purpose. Mm-hmm. And so you've taken their purpose away. So then what I learned to start asking myself is, what role is this person really filling in my life? You know, what need is it that I have that this person is in my life? Because the healthier I got, the more I came to trust my own instincts and my own opinions, and the less I needed somebody else to tell me how to fix it. Now, that drives my husband absolutely bananas, because he wants to fix everything and he doesn't like it when I tell him, look, I just need you to hear me. I just need you to listen to what it is I'm saying. I don't need you to fix it. Well, so what am I supposed to do? Well, you're just supposed to sit there and listen.
just be a sounding board.
Because on occasion, I do want to hear, you know, somebody else's idea other than my very best friend in the whole wide world. But we just need to start looking at, you know, what are the roles that people are playing in our life? And we circle back to what you were talking about at the very beginning. You know, if we're suffering from trauma from childhood, we learn as adults. What I came to recognize is I can look at how I react in a moment, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to food, when I'm grabbing for food for comfort or to stop the pain. I can pause. I can take a breath. Okay, what is my earliest memory of a similar situation? What was going on? What was really going on? What were my thoughts? What was it that I wanted? What was it that I needed in that moment? And what happened? What was it that happened that now, fast forward this many years, I feel as if my only out, my only way to stop the pain, my only coping mechanism is to go for food. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, you know, we drive, we've got a giant windshield, we've got a little tiny rear view mirror. We can look in the rearview mirror for information. We don't need to dwell or live there. We check it for information so that we can make decisions about our current situation. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if I'm feeling something, because one of the things that I came to understand is I struggled with feelings of abandonment. I didn't know that until I started asking the question. Mm-hmm. And then those feelings of abandonment, they were pouring and flooding into other areas of my life, which was not healthy. But once I recognized, okay, this is what's really going on. All right, so what can we do so that we're not abandoning ourselves right now? How can we take care of ourselves right now? And I tell people that I work with, let's write a letter to that small child of way back when. And let's acknowledge their feelings. Of course you felt that way. This is what's going on. Of course you wanted this, but you know, your parents weren't able to provide it for you. And that's the other thing that I came to understand. I forgive my parents. They did the very best they could with the information that they had at the time, just as I hope that my own children, and I will, you know, give away the ending at the beginning, they all survived. The oldest one's almost 38. They survived. But the best that I can ask for is that they forgive me and acknowledge I did the best that I could with the information that I had. Because truthfully, just like society is saying, or the expectation that society has on us, we drag forward generational mm-hmm. expectations, beliefs, mm-hmm. and boundaries.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. I've found that forgiveness plays a huge role in my own healing, recognizing that my parents were dealing with their own junk, just like I'm dealing with my junk now. So they were doing the best that they could at the time. And damage happened. So we have to make a choice to forgive and to heal and move on and go do better. When you know better, you can do better.
Right. And just because we forgive, you know, here's the really important thing. Just because we forgive doesn't mean we forget. No. Forgiveness and forgetting are two different things.
They are very different things.
And I also learned to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. Because just like everybody around me, I'm doing the very best that I can with the information that I have at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's all that we can ask or expect of anyone, is to do mm-hmm. the very best they can with the information they have at the time. Mm-hmm. And as you said, when we know better, we do better.
Yeah. So what is your number one tip for someone just getting started on this journey?
The thing that I recommend the most often is sit down and write a letter from you a year from now. Visualize what you want your life, your thoughts, your expectations, everything to be in a year. And then write the letter to the you of today. And tell the you of today how grateful you are for all the hard work that they did. And for not giving up. And for believing. And for struggling. And tell the you of today how proud you are and how amazing they are. And all of those words of love and affirmation that you've ever desired to hear, say those from the you of a year from now to the you of today. And then put that letter away after you finish it. I recommend having paper towels or tissues. I mean, pour it out. Put that letter away, set a reminder in your telephone, tell yourself where you put that letter, because I can't tell you how many times I put stuff in safe places and then
put it in a safe place from yourself.
Yeah, I lost Christmas ornaments that way for 3 years in a row. Anyway, put a reminder in your phone in a year, go to whatever your safe place is that you put it and get that letter out and read it. And you'll be surprised at how much of it has come true. Because once you start speaking that desire out into the universe, your body, your brain, your heart, your soul is going to be longing for that you of a year from now. And you're going to start driving yourself in that direction.
That's awesome. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have anything that you'd like to offer our listeners?
If you go to my website, I've got several cards and things that people can download for free. And if you go to my website, you can see where the books are and all that kind of stuff. And the website is youcanteatlove.com. But everything about me is on the website. And if you want to reach out to me and have a conversation with me, there's also contact information on the website. But I would love to hear from you. And if anyone has just a question, you can book a call and I will be happy to chat.
Awesome. So I will link Leslie's website on my blog in the description of this episode. You will find a link that will take you to my blog, and then there will be a link in the blog to Leslie's website so that you can find all of her information, get some freebies. Thank you so much for joining me today, Leslie. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we will talk soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Emily. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. Before you go, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when new episodes go live every week.